Piles. Boy, do we have a show for you today. To my right, we got James Dean Rader. He's back in his jorts. The State and Liberty thing was a one-show special, and now he's back in his...
Back to your regularly scheduled program.
Yeah, regular scheduled clothing. To my left, David Bray. But more top of mind right now, we have the Honeymooners, Sion Williams and Tyler Meisinger. Once again, Tyler has found weaseled his way into some luxurious trip with Sion. And now, if you're wondering what that sound is, yes, that is apparently thousands of roosters that are in the neighboring yard. Now, I didn't hear them. You kept saying, can you hear these roosters? And we couldn't. And now it's all you hear. I don't know if this is going to make it the worst show ever and people are going to hate this. What do you think, Tyler? Well,
we asked you guys if we should move inside, and we were told no. We were told the roosters add a nice ambiance. So,
and at the same time, you know, they're dinner tonight. We're going to run out, go chase them down, chop a head off, and, you know, fry them up.
A little jerk chicken. Tonight.
Now, Sion.
We are... Yeah. Do you want to tell, should we explain where we are and what time it is?
Yeah, I mean, when did you and two kind of really hit it off? When did it start to get like, hey, we should start, you know, traveling together, going on trips, going to Hawaii? What is happening? Why are you in Hawaii together?
Well, you know, I took my job at Flow. I never knew that I would lay eyes on this guy right here until I moved to Austin months later. And I've been waiting for a long time. You know, it took him a while to learn my name. I still don't think he knows my name. He called me JD yesterday. So,
Sion, real quick, I'm going to give you 3 seconds. What's his name? Go. Well, 3, 2.
Tyler.
At the buzzer. He's worked with him for a couple of years. He called him Taylor within the last month or two. He called him JD yesterday. So already I can tell you two are hitting it off. But seriously, why are you in Hawaii? How are you on all these amazing trips, Tyler?
Man, I think, well, JD's here with me because the only way CP let me on the show.
Did you just call me JD on purpose?
Oh, shit. What did I say? Already.
That's an insult to me.
I knew it. He doesn't know JD. Who's with him.
I would be honored to be compared to you.
Yeah.
Take
it away, Tyler.
Me and JD and I went on a trip around the northeast last year. We were sleeping on wrestling mats. We were raising money for kids in Hawaii affected by the fires in Maui. And the kind of the reason we got connected with them is because Sion's friend Grant Nakamura from Iowa State, he runs a club out here, and so he was raising money for these kids. He was letting like 16 people stay in this house that we're at right now at one point in time. And so Sion had the really cool idea to come back out here, kind of visit all these kids, see how the money JD and I raised $10,000. Flow Sports matched that with another $10,000. So we raised $20,000 for these kids. And we just thought it'd be cool to come out here, see where our money went and how much it positively impacted the lives of all these kids that were affected by these really devastating fires. So,
and then how, you know, how the community is recovering and how wrestling helps them to keep, you know, life somewhat normal.
Yeah. Sion wanted to do this so bad. He booked this trip with his own miles.
Whoa.
He's a beast for that.
You know,
he's a beast out on the map.
David Bray told me content didn't have the budget. So, you know, I said, I got it, man.
That's right.
And then Grant Nakamura is providing us a room here at his house, his extra vehicle to get around. Me and JD's got this nice,
oh my gosh,
his daughter's suite. Yeah, dude. Me and Tyler.
Are you serious?
No, I'm sorry.
How is it possible?
You want me there so bad.
Wow.
Me and Tyler's got this nice suite here. We got like some pink unicorns.
Here, wait. Let me turn the camera around real quick. Show you what we're working with room-wise.
Okay.
Also, this is our room.
Can we acknowledge that Tyler said we were traveling around the Northeast and we went to Michigan, Ohio, Virginia?
That's, I'll give it to him.
Did you get our pink sheets? Sion was sleeping with a pillow.
That's cute. So
maybe I shouldn't have messed up with this setup.
Of the $20,000, how much went to rooster purchases? It seems like a lot, at least like a couple grand went to roosters.
Well, the roosters just run around here a while. So, you know, you want dinner, you just go catch it.
Okay.
We're going to do a Rocky thing where we go out and just run them down,
Oh, that'll be a good
point. If Sion will let me film him trying to chase a rooster down, I will do that.
Please
I will
do
chase
it.
A rooster down.
But hey, I you feel know, like, Sion, you're the person most likely to have eaten a rooster. Have you eaten a rooster? And compare it to chicken.
Yes, I've eaten a rooster.
How is it?
Rooster and chicken's the same thing. It's the same thing.
I know it's the same animal, but does it taste the same?
Tastes the same. Actually, rooster tastes a little better.
Dang.
What do you think makes it taste better?
I
don't know, man. It's food.
It's food.
In Jamaica, we had roosters. We had chickens running all around the yard. So whenever it was dinner time and we were going to kill one, my parents would be like, go grab one. You know, chase them down. Barefoot.
It was like that in Southern California, too, for the record.
Yeah, a lot. The major Southern California vibes. Okay, well, we're glad you're there. We're glad you could join the show. What time is it in Hawaii?
5 a.m.
5:06.
Wow. Tyler's surprisingly bright-eyed and bushy-tailed for this show.
Well, I'm still on Austin time.
Okay. All right. Good deal. All right. Well, that's enough of that. Why don't we get on to some of our other topics of the day? Glad you guys are on the show. The biggest topic right now, Andrew Alira's in the transfer portal. This was massive news in the sport of wrestling. You know, he was a national champion 2 years ago for Northern Colorado. He Olympic redshirted this year. We've seen him have incredible success at Northern Colorado. He's from Greeley, Colorado, where Northern Colorado is located. And obviously, this is something that the people that don't like the transfer portal, this is the exact kind of stuff that they really hate to see, right? Because it's a hometown guy. He's had incredible success at this place. And, they're not able to keep him, right? So I guess the big question now is, where does someone like Andrew Alira's go? Obviously he's not going to remain at Northern Colorado. But what were some of y'all's thoughts when you found out Andrew was going in the portal?
It's kind of
– Well,
it's interesting timing. You know, he spent the whole Olympic redshirt year in Greeley. Doesn't maybe get the results he wanted at the Olympic trials, obviously. Now he enters the transfer portal.
Yeah, I mean, if you're Northern Colorado, it's like, dude, we just spent a year, like, let you Olympic redshirt and train here. And now, like, you know, we now in the kind of the ninth hour, you're hitting the portal. So we don't have a 140. We could have at least had a year to, like, figure out your replacement, who that could be. And now you just kind of wasted that year. So it's got to be disappointing for Troy Nickerson and company. And, you know, it's obviously the Ira rumors are swirling right now that they're actively pursuing Andrew Alirez. And obviously he fills a weight of need for them, 41. What also is interesting is just like that. And what the other thing that the portal haters don't like is the rumors about Alirez going in the portal were, you know, a week and a half. And it was like, hey, this school's after him. This is the offer. This is going on. So as we watch this situation play out, the order of operations seems to be like kind of – you're supposed to go in the portal and then the conversations happen, but it feels like there's no real required order anymore for how these things go. So it'll be interesting
to follow. Why is that? Is that because – is there any regulation for boosters recruiting now, like with people reaching out and saying, we want to pay you this money to do this? Like, is that still against the rules, or is that a gray area now? Like, what's going on with that?
Well, going back to what
I know, coaches can't reach out, but can boosters do whatever they want now?
Well, Coach Ryan kind of made it sound like anyone can sort of, like, if you're not the coach or whatever, like, people can reach out at any point, pre or during portal. I'm trying to remember that conversation that we had when Coach Ryan was on, but it kind of sounded like that. It's not you. Someone, it's just a couple degrees of separation is probably all you need to stay in the clear. Be like, hey, if you wanted to go to Iowa, I'm pretty sure there'd be a good offer. If you want to go to Oklahoma State, if you wanted to go to Michigan, if Penn State, like these coaches can have plenty of degrees of separation and be in the clear.
Well, technically speaking, you're not even supposed to be able to say, hey, if you come here, this is the offer.
Yeah.
Booster or not.
I just think there aren't rules anymore, honestly.
Well, it's a smorgasbord now. It's open field.
It's a smorgasbord.
Like, cornucopia. You want it, you go out and get it. Yeah.
What, yeah.
You know, nowadays with athletes.
One of the takeaways that I had from listening to Coach Ryan was that it's really up to the individual coach and program's moral code. And each program is going to be different in that sense. Like some programs are going to say, we want to do it this way because we believe that's right and that's ethical. If another program decides to do it another way, I mean, that's just that there's not going to be consistency across the board when that's the way that that's being operated. And the NCAA has pretty much washed its hands of this stuff. They're like, we're not a policing body. We're not like, we don't want to be. So you guys figure it out. So I don't think even if there were rules, there's no real enforcing agency with teeth that's gonna do anything if somebody's breaking those. And I don't even think there really are strict rules.
With the way the top five is, where, you know, outside of Penn State, which, you know, it's dominant right now, I don't think anybody's catching them. I don't care what team you put together right now. Nobody's catching them right now. The other four schools are competing for second. But, you know, if you're continuously losing, your morals go out the window. Eventually, you're going to be like, I'm going to go buy me the best things out there. You know, look at the Yankees. Yankees go out and buy the best team every year. Eventually, other teams, they're going to be trying to beat Penn State, so they're going to go, and pardon my language, I'm not saying any school's doing it, they're going to go poach from any schools and put the best team together.
Yeah. I was so scared. I had no idea what he was going to say after he said, pardon my language.
Yeah. Pardon my language.
Why are you guys always afraid? What am I going to say, man? Come on.
You don't even
know. I'm a professional here.
Yeah. He's a professional. All right, I'm keeping
my
eye on.
Me and Tyler here are professionals.
I'm checking out the chat, seeing if there's a lot of rooster complaints. Nothing yet. Nothing yet. So I guess it's not that bad.
The thing with Elirez that's interesting to me is we were at Olympic trials. We did an interview with him. I can't remember who he beat before he wrestled Nick Lee, but someone asked him, like, you've talked a lot about how you found success at Northern Colorado and how everyone can do that. And he went on like a little like minute monologue talking about, yeah, like you can do it anywhere. Like you don't have to go to a big school. You can do it at a small school like Northern Colorado. And I think maybe he still believes that because he won a national title at UNC, but it was, I don't know. I don't want to say it bummed me out. I really loved one of the things I loved about Elirez this whole time is that he was from Greeley. He repped Greeley, repped Northern Colorado. I thought that was a really cool aspect to him, and I do not shame him at all for hitting the portal, whether it be because it might be financially helpful or because he wants to change up his training situation. But I think that just it came as a shock to some people who have seen this guy just like rep for Northern Colorado so hard. I was just looking for pictures for the thumbnail of this episode, and after he won NCAAs, he was like holding up his single, like pointing to UNC. So yeah.
You offer me $200,000, I'll slap Christian any day you want me to.
All right.
Only I too would slap Christian for $200,000.
I'd slap
you
myself.
$10, I'd slap him too. Yeah. $10, I'll slap him. Slap him twice.
A lot of people would probably
$20
to pay to slap me. So yeah, obviously.
Yeah.
I think that's our fundraiser for next time around.
That's how we raise money for the kids again.
Yes.
You get the right.
See how many people pay us
the highest donor gets to slap Christian.
Dang. Hope it's a small one. Mm-hmm. Sion, you better not become a booster. You got a big old bear paw there. I don't want that thing outside my face.
To slap you? Oh man.
Yeah, I feel like everyone with the portal is like has the same thing. Like everyone knows if we were in that situation and you can make the money is crazy. If it's half true, it's crazy. It is life changing. And if that's true, it's like we would all do the same thing. We would all, I think most of us would. So none of us judge the decision. But just in the idea of sport and college athletics, it is just sort of like, man, it's going to be hard for these smaller programs. Basically, and here's another downstream effect. It's like if you get a good wrestler, you are a fool to redshirt him if you're a smaller program.
Yeah.
Use him right away. I mean, look, this guy just Olympic redshirted out. Mitchell Messenbrink redshirted Cal Baptist out. You're going to have to use him when you got him because next year is not guaranteed. Health is not guaranteed. If they are healthy and they're your best wrestler and you're not the big dog program, even if you are, you should wrestle them. You should wrestle your guys, which I think we're seeing trends against the freshmen's redshirting year one. We're seeing that less and less anymore. I think we'll see it decrease with all these programs. You need to wrestle these guys right away.
Yeah, but what if you get a guy who's not a super big recruit, but you really like what you're seeing in the room? He goes out, qualifies for nationals, but isn't quite ready to All-American yet. Then he leaves. What if you're like, but if we redshirt him, nobody knows exactly where he's at, and then maybe he makes the podium the next year.
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, yeah, there's all kinds of scenarios. But the bottom line is, if someone's on the level, you need to use them, period.
I got a next question for you, CP.
Okay.
Now, how does the reunions work, you know? Like, you know, in wrestling, I know, like, everybody I was with at Iowa State is my lifelong friends. Like, if somebody up and leaves your school now, are you like, that guy sold me out. He ain't cool no more. Like, how does these reunions going to work later on in life?
That's the big question, the reunion. That's what people have been asking. I don't know. I mean,
I think there's going to be some resentment.
Yeah, I mean, I think if you're Troy Nickerson, maybe not resentment, but, man, you got to be sad. And I think the teammates probably get it, right? I don't know. I think they're probably still friends. But, yeah, I mean, it probably changes things. Dang, y'all just got a lot of noises going on.
Can you hear this garbage truck?
Oh, yeah. Man, is it picking up the roosters? Y'all should have.
I don't know.
I'm starting to think y'all should have done this inside.
Well, I asked if we should go inside, and what was I told?
Well, listen to this.
I told y'all wanted the rooster.
Here's what I wanted to say. But in our pre-meeting, you kept asking. None of us could hear the roosters at that point in time. I did not hear them until you jumped on the VMix.
Did you antagonize the roosters? Is that what's going on?
Yeah.
Sion did.
I threw some grains out there and, you know, got to get them in one place so I could chase the right one down.
All
right.
I don't know if you can see that. You can see how the lights, like, it's starting to get a little brighter out here. I think as it gets brighter, the roosters might start to go crazier and crazier.
No, they stop. They only crow in the morning, like, extreme light.
Oh, resident rooster expert over here.
Yeah, we had in Jamaica, we had them running around all the place.
Okay. That wasn't true.
That was our wake-up call.
My parents' next-door neighbors had roosters, and they crowed all the time, middle of the night, early in the morning. They were the worst animals. I think they
not really middle of the night. They're more morning.
Well, these
they were like our
these Virginia clock. Roosters are built different, Sion. Okay, so
hey, you're from Virginia. We agree.
I'm from Virginia. Okay,
so if
you're built different,
that's right.
If Iowa does get Alirez, like it sounds like, that's kind of the rumor. That's where
rumor
of where maybe he's leaning. I'm sure he's looking at other places, but they pick up Alirez, maybe a couple other guys in the portal. What's their lineup looking like next year?
Man, it's going to be a really tough lineup. I mean, they're rumored with Parco too. Parco hasn't put out a list, but I think there's smoke there.
Now, you know who Sion told me they might get?
Who?
Joe Flacco.
Oh, really? Tell that story.
We're down on the floor at the U.S. Open. and you know, talking with coaches and, you know, rumors about where people are going to go and this and that. And somebody said, you know who Iowa's going to get? Sion's like, Flacco. I heard Flacco. I'm like, wait, what? The former quarterback of the Ravens? They're going to get Flacco? And it turns out he was talking about Parco.
Well, this is the same man, Sion Williams. So he thinks Joe Flacco to Iowa, which would be a great pickup. But a year or two ago, we were talking about, you know, Wisconsin lineups, and he's like, Wisconsin's got Trent Dilfer. It's like, Hilger? So he just loves quarterbacks. And he thinks they're going. So, Sion, you know, you're good at a lot of things. Names, I would not put on one of your spiritual gifts. Or maybe it is.
No.
Maybe it is, yeah.
So Joe Flacco, yeah, could go there. Or Parco. Maybe they're a package deal. That's what we're not sure of at this point.
So you're saying Iowa's trying to put the Yankees lineup together for next year to try to take out Penn State?
The Ravens lineup.
The Ravens. Yeah, I mean.
Well,
this is what I've been saying about Iowa. If you look at their recruiting haul or lack thereof, I mean, Angelo Ferrari is a blue chip stud that's going to have a huge impact on the team. But other than that, I didn't see a lot of impact guys that are going to help their team for this coming season or beyond. So it was sort of obvious to anyone paying attention, they were going to be going to portal heavy this offseason. So it would make sense if they're in the hunt for Alirez and Parco and others. So you can see that. And then we got a question from Joseph Floyd. Will we see a Ferrari in a starting lineup next year? So AJ posted on his Instagram a picture of him and Ben Keeter, which basically said, hey, name a better back-to-back 197 heavyweight for next year, AJ Ferrari and Ben Keeter, which would speak to AJ at least believes that he's going to be on the team next year. He's in the Iowa room, clearly. He's lifting with Ben Keeter, who's a Hawk. So it would seem like the AJ to Iowa thing is not out of the question at this point.
Is he eligible?
I mean, I don't have his transcripts, but I mean, I assume he. I don't think eligibility was the question. I think, you know, the other things that sort of surround AJ would be what prohibits him from coming. So imagine if they get him. Imagine if they add Alirez and Parco and all these. That's a great team because they already have Drake. 57-65 is some combination of Seabrick, Caliendo, Kennedy. 74, Gabe Arnold. 84 could be Angelo, could be Nelson Brands if he gets his year. 97, they have the Soldier Salute champion returning, Zach Glazier. But then they have the Soldier Salute runner-up, AJ Ferrari. So a little Soldier Salute wrestle-off going on at 197. And then Ben Keeter, if they use him this year, which you would think they would, that's a really good team. That, to me, is the second-best team in the country. And, you know, you put them in a duel against Penn State, and it's going to be exciting. I know that much.
So do you think they're within 50 points of Penn State now?
50. Possibly, yeah. 50 points is still way back. 50 points is still probably you're locking it in Friday, not Friday, Saturday morning. You could be locking in Saturday morning or Saturday evening.
50 points.
So over and under, you think Penn State score more points this year, next year than this year?
So let's talk about that. I think a lot of people think they can't match last year, and maybe not, but I think it's possible because you look at 25 and 33. They DNP'd both those. They probably had like four combined points there. Both guys lost in the round of 12.
Probably going to get more production there.
At 25,
if not both.
25 is going to be Luke Lilladol. Now, is he going to be much better than Braden Davis was this year? Maybe not, but I feel like he's going to be on the level, obviously. And them finishing in the round of 12 back-to-back years, I think they're going to place at 25. 33, Nagao is either going to be better or it's going to be Braden Davis at 33. Braden's going up. Now he can redshirt, so they have flexibility there. You would think it'll be Nagao and he'll be good. 41, you figure, is similar. They could actually fall back a little at 41 with Alirez returning. Alirez has beaten Bo Bartlett multiple times. He beat him in folk style. He beat him in freestyle a week ago. And Mendez, of course, is back, the returning champion. So, but the point drop there is probably kind of negligible, right? And it could be a wash. 49, Kasak, Van Ness, one of them, they're going to place high. They've got third the last 2 years there. Feels like one of them can get third or better next year, if not win a title. 57 is curious because we've been saying for a couple of years now, like two seasons, like Levi is big, he's cutting a lot. But now it sounds like more and more he's going to move up. So do you slide Van Ness or Kasak in? Do you wrestle Joe Seeley year one? I think there's major point production coming then. 65, Mitchell, major points. 74 is a question. Do they bump Levi up to 74? They're going to be good there. 84, Josh Barr is a question. 97, if Brooks goes 90 or Starachi goes 97, he can win. He will win whatever weight he goes, in my opinion. And then heavyweight, they should win again with Kirkley. So, to me, that's – I don't know what you guys think, but I think that sounds like a team that's pretty comparable to last year's potentially.
For sure.
Yep. And if 25 and 33 produce, it's better than last year.
Yeah. But with that, you could also
You lose it.
Yes.
You do lose Aaron Brooks, who's like a guaranteed champ. You plug him in with Josh Barr, who is good, but –
Storacci.
Or whichever.
Well, I'm saying – I'm not saying at 97. I'm saying just like you lose one. Starachi stays in the lineup. You lose Brooks. You plug in Barr.
Yeah.
In those upper weights, you know, and I mean, I think that could potentially be a huge differential.
Yeah.
But if 25 and 33 step up, Barr, and that neutralizes the whole other part.
I think that the but like if you say you have three low All-Americans, that still like just that like just barely equals one Aaron Brooks, basically. Right?
Yeah. Yeah, basically.
Like three eighth places.
For
Let's say that all three of them take eighth. That's like one Aaron Brooks. So, yeah. I mean, it's not like the, with Aaron, you like know that he's winning. With these, with three weights where you don't know where, how all three of them are going to do. So that's, I totally could see them matching or doing better than this last year, but yeah, I don't think it's a shoo-in.
Yeah, I agree with that. And like Kasek got third, he wrestled awesome, but he also lost in round one, right?
Yeah.
Like there's variance there. Shane Van Ness, last year he was just one of the guys for the entire season through Big Tens, and then at NCAAs, he turned into a monster and got third. So there's still some questions there, and they need to keep Levi in the lineup, but how do you fit him in? Where does he go if he wants to move up? Do you bump up? Do him and Mitchell flip? I think that should be considered. Mitchell was, you know, Ben talked pretty openly about that. He could have went 57 this year. And, you know, if you drop him down, you let Levi grow.
Would that be the first time people, like, two NCAA finalists just swapped weights? That would be a first, right?
I think that's a first.
You don't think that's a first? Tell me then, Sion.
I'm trying to figure it, remember where it was. It happened somewhere before.
Well, lean in.
You guys recall?
Well, oh. While Sion figures that out,
it happened somewhere before.
I think one thing that's worth pointing out, though, even though Penn State could be in the running for scoring similar amount of points to last year, the team race already feels different. Like this year, it felt pretty much hopeless. You know, it was second place, and there was nobody even talking about like what the team race would be. Ever since we started talking here about the AJ possibility, our chat is just going nonstop about AJ Ferrari, Carter Strachey potential matchup and matchups like that. And just, you know, the general excitement that would come with a dual meet between Iowa and Penn State. If all these transfers come to fruition, like that is going to make this season so much more compelling from a team standpoint, even if Penn State can still score 180 points.
Man. I need an AJ versus Carter Strachey match.
Oh man.
Inject it straight into my bloodstream.
Yeah.
I don't think that dual meet happens this year though.
Iowa, Penn State.
Yeah, I think don't they flip it every other? They don't. It's near a year that they don't wrestle because they wrestled the last 2 years, and because of the Big Ten schedule, I don't think they wrestle this year.
They don't wrestle every year.
We riot.
Yeah,
yeah. We call the police.
So they that wrestle, would make me so sad.
They wrestled the last 2 years. So I don't think that's happening this season.
Okay, so let's get to this then. Then I have an idea. I've already figured this out. So don't nobody worry. So Carter Strachey announced last night he was coming back. That was all but assumed at this point. But then he sent out another tweet that said something about now next up, let's sell out Beaver Stadium in November. Beaver being the name of their football stadium. And obviously Iowa did this in 2015, I think. 16. And the question is, all right, well, who are they going to wrestle? Are they going to be able to do this? Can they break the attendance record? The current wrestling attendance record is Kinnick Stadium, Iowa versus Oklahoma State in November. Now, if they're not on the schedule, which I don't know, I feel like anymore they've been on the schedule every year for the last few years. When's the last time they didn't duel?
2 years ago.
No.
3 years ago.
I don't think so.
They do back-to-back, and then they skip a year.
They duel in 2021?
2021, did they duel?
Let me see.
They might not have that year, but that was also weird because it was the COVID thing. So it could have been that.
Potentially. They only did Big Ten scheduling.
Yeah.
Yeah, they did. 2021.
So they've...
Oh, wait a minute. Hold on. This is Friday, February 12th, postponed.
I don't think they did duel because, or were they scheduled to duel?
It says they were scheduled to duel on the 12th of February. It was postponed.
Okay, so they were supposed to. So that one counts. So 3 years in a row they wrestled. I think we can count on this duel happening. But if worst case scenario and Sion's fake news is true news, then they need to do this one in November at Penn State in Beaver Stadium, non-conference duel. And that would be...
But it's a conference duel.
But it's a conference duel. That's what they've done in the past. During the, if you guys remember, in was the Twitter match where Kale and Tom got on Twitter and started like hyping up the duel and scheduling it. It was first semester. It was in December at Carver. That was sick. So they know what this duel means. It needs to happen. But I feel bad that we even talk about it because I'm almost positive that it's happening in the regular slot. And you guys are just deceiving America in our listening audience. But if it doesn't happen, that's a good plan.
It's just never fake news.
Okay. Oh. Well, you said they didn't.
Unless it's somebody's name, then that might be.
Iowa's getting Flacco, so.
Yeah. If he doesn't end up at Iowa, I don't know. Maybe he's going to the Barnstormers. Okay, so that would be fire. Carter Starace coming back is obviously huge news. And someone asked a question, with him confirming he's returning next year, where would a fifth national title put him on your GOAT list?
The fifth doesn't really add that much to me because, okay, if Logan Stieber came back, would he win another one? If Kale came back, would he win another one? If Date came back, would he win another one?
No, likely none of them.
So adding a fifth, it is cool. It's another notch in the belt. It doesn't hurt, but to me, it doesn't add that much.
The things that I think are exciting about it are the weight change, seeing him move up weight. The things that I think can up your stock is like, if you go up in weights or anything, like you hit some different level of competition. Like if he goes 84 and he beats Parker Kekeisen, that's like a notch. Like, cause that's what you're looking at. Cause there's a lot of four timers and multiple national champions. What separates your bonus points and who you've beaten, right? So Carter's not been the biggest bonus point scorer throughout his career, right? Compared to the Davids, the Kales, the Logans, et cetera. But if he goes up, he's extremely dominant this year, and he also, you know, beats a Parker or wins a 197, that would be really notable.
So I have a question. If you go 4 years to 4 years, who do you think had, like, who would you rank higher on a GOAT list, Aaron Brooks or Carter Starace, just for their college career?
Well, I like that Carter just basically didn't lose since his freshman year, right? I think that undefeated strength is really notable. And I don't count injury default 0 second matches. You can count Jason Nolf and Van Brill or whatever, but I don't count those. So he hasn't lost since Kimmer at Big Tens, right? Mm-hmm. That's really impressive. Whereas Brooks had a loss to Marcus Coleman last year. So to me, that run, because do we view either of the weights as that they won tougher?
I think the toughest.
Yeah, I think 84 would have been tougher.
I think you might be right.
I think probably the toughest guy that Brooks beat was what, Amin?
Or Trent.
Olympic bronze medalist and overall beast, Miles Amin.
Parker Kekeisen.
Toughest guy that Starace beat was probably Kemmer.
Yeah.
Maybe Mackay.
Maybe Mackay, yeah. He beat him a lot of times.
Yeah, he beat him a lot. No, I feel like you're right. Now that you mention it, maybe Aaron's wins are a little better.
I should say, though, the farther...
He also lost to Miles.
He did.
Yeah.
The farther we get removed from the years these guys won, the less it'll be about who they beat and more just about wins and losses and stats, like dominance.
Vibes.
Yes.
I don't know. I feel like...
No, it'll be less about vibes.
Yeah.
Did Aaron have three losses and Carter had two?
Yeah, Carter had the DJ Washington match and then like his, I think that was his first college match or close to it.
Mm-hmm.
I think the other thing that'll happen inevitably is people are going to conflate Aaron Brooks' international success with his NCAA success. And that's where the vibes come in big. It's like they're going to be, oh, he's an Olympian already. You know, if he wins the Olympics or something, they're going to automatically assign that to his NCAA career.
But going back to what JD says about dominance, you got to more dominant is Aaron Brooks.
Depends on what you consider dominant.
Do you consider not losing dominant,
I consider bonus points dominant and not losing.
Yeah.
I don't know. They're pretty close in bonus.
Carter was actually, I think, leading a little bit at the beginning of the year until he got hurt.
Yeah, Carter was out bonusing him for a little bit there, but then. Yeah, I don't know. I think they're about basically a wash bonus-wise. It's really beautiful. The sun is just – what a vista.
Yeah, you like that?
What a charmed life.
This really feels Hawaiian.
I saw
now.
Some people asking where we are in relation to the ocean. We're not super close, but we're also not that far.
Oh,
it's okay. Not that far. You can see it from here.
You can see it that way.
Yeah.
This way is all, it's like a mountain range behind us.
Where's it? Hey, what plants are there?
I wish you guys could see it.
Palm tree.
Oh, it's not Maui Waui?
No, it's not Maui Waui.
Are
you allowed to say that on air?
I hope so. I just said Maui Waui. Well, stay
Sion
away.
Sion cannot stop saying Maui Waui.
I bet. Go to Juice Land, orders a Maui Waui.
Do we think it's a coincidence that Carter announced he's for sure coming back the same day he also said, I am for sure the highest paid college wrestler?
Oh, yeah, this is good. Can you tee this up a little bit?
Yeah, so Carter on his story yesterday, somebody put up a story. Who's the highest paid college wrestler? Carter put it on his story and said, me, by a lot. And then he went on to say, also, I am returning for sure for my fifth year.
Yeah, I mean, it seems like that's very likely true, or it's that it should be true. Like, he's certainly the most accomplished wrestler, and when you consider what you can bring him back, and it's there's no guarantees, but he's pretty close to a guarantee. After winning a title this year, given what he overcame with his injury, it's like, yeah, lock it in. And
yeah, but success on the mat doesn't necessarily correlate to the highest paid.
Well, the only reason these guys are getting paid is to wrestle. They're not getting paid for the money they generate.
Well, yeah, I know. But I'm saying a transfer maybe gets a little bit more in NIL because, hey, we want you to come here.
No, the new fun thing is, and I'm not saying Carter did this, but this is happening around the country. It's like you're getting paid to not go in the portal. So those hey, coach, I'm not saying this is what happened with Penn State. I'm saying this is happening around the country. Hey,
no, that's the new fun thing. Sounds like something like a coach told Christian. No, actually, the new fun thing is not going in the portal. So, yeah. Christian, if you could just tell everyone that.
No.
That's like the new in thing.
You didn't
just
even
not
let me
doing that in the first place.
Hey, be quiet. That's not what it is. They're basically threatening. They're like, hey, I'm going to go in the portal if you don't pay me X. Right. Because these coaches are bringing in these guys. And it's the problem that has been laid out for a while now. It's like, wait. You're paying this guy to come in here. I just was a national finalist. That doesn't really make sense to me. So now they're basically threatening, like, I'm going to go in the portal if you don't pay me this. So that's why you're not hearing as much about it. So I think a lot of the ones that just because someone isn't transferring doesn't mean they're not getting a bag. I hate that I just said a bag. Edit that out.
No, I agree. But is somebody like Aliris maybe getting more?
Well,
I don't think, I'm just saying, I don't think because he's
more than Carter.
I'm just saying, I don't think because he's the most accomplished means he's automatically the highest.
Well, he's at Penn State, so
they have a lot of money.
Yeah, so just he is the best, and he is at Penn State, so I don't think they're going to get.
He's got four. He has four national titles.
He's got four titles.
You know, that's worth something.
Yeah, yeah. If it was someone else, yeah, but if it wasn't there and if it wasn't him, okay, but it's Carter and it's Penn State. And I think he's
where I saw somewhere that Alaris turned down like $150,000 to stay at Northern Colorado. I saw that posted somewhere.
Yeah, I would.
So you know, he's trying to. He's probably going out there looking for more than $150,000 to go work somewhere.
Yeah,
decent chunk of change.
Because you gotta look at it nowadays. It's a job.
Yeah. Shout out. Okay.
Which then brings me my next question.
Oh gosh.
Go ahead.
Go. No, you go, please.
Oh, sorry. You know, I was like, you know, I was talking to JD, you know.
Oh, no. Yeah. Did you really do
I'm talking to Tyler here. And he's a big Michigan guy, you know, and I saw, like, you know, I think he's on our topic today. Cannon is on the transfer list again. I was wondering if Michigan's going to ask for a refund, you know, for their product. Like, you know, he came in, he didn't. Do you get a refund like when guys transfer in nowadays?
I'm holding your mic for you. I'm doing everything for you. You're gonna diss Michigan like that?
I'm just asking a question. Are they gonna ask for a refund?
It's not a diss. I don't know. I don't know. Chris Cannon didn't wrestle a full match for Michigan. He got concussed his first match at Columbia last year. Sat out. I know he wanted to be. What are you?
I was looking if
they can hear us. I know he. He wanted to be back on the mat, but he couldn't get cleared for a while. So they pulled Dylan Ragson's red shirt. That's all I know. I don't know anything about why he entered the transfer portal, or I don't know if maybe did he get his degree that he won from Michigan and he said, I'm out. I don't know. I don't know where he's going.
Well, I will say this, you know, Carter may be getting the most money, but on a per second basis, Chris Cannon could be the highest paid wrestler of all time. Even if he got like, a couple thousand, it's a very efficient deal for him.
Yes.
That's insane. Who goes after? I mean, he fits at Iowa too. They need a 33, in my opinion. So maybe they look at him. But I don't know where he's going to go. I haven't heard Iowa, but they need a 33.
Do they have the bankroll for
it? It's the Iowa Hawkeyes. Yeah.
They got the bankroll.
They got the money. Have you seen this new facility? It's state of the art.
I hear Iowa State is going to be better in the future, though.
Oh, really?
I just saw the rendering at Iowa State. I think I like that one better.
Interesting. Well, where do we want to go next, JD? Should we talk about you want to talk about the room?
Yeah, well, I got a question before we move on.
Okay, let's do that.
Can Penn State break the attendance record Iowa set against Oklahoma State at Grapple at the Gridiron? With their Grapple on the Gridiron 2.0.
They can.
Would they, though?
The way you do it, the way Iowa did it, you do it before a football game, right?
Right.
Penn State football draw is an insane draw,
mm-hmm.
probably more so than Iowa football. So theoretically, you get those people in. I think absolutely they could. It's got to be the right duel, right? It needs to be, a good quality opposition, which I'm certain they're not going to have. I don't even want to throw a team out there, but you can read between the lines and imagine a non-competitive duel. So they need to make it a duel worth watching, not just them stunting on a team. But if they get the right duel in there and it's the right football game, I think for sure. What the number was?
42,287.
Yeah, that they can absolutely.
I think the Penn State fans will do it just so they have the record.
Yeah. I think
they'll show up just so that they say they have it more than Iowa.
Yeah, I mean, that's the challenge, right? That's why you do. I mean, you do something like this because it's really cool. But
that's why I do anything. It's so that I can say I've done it and Christian hasn't done it. That's a lot of things.
Yeah, I've never gone on a honeymoon with Sion. So you're up big on me there.
If you know what's funny? Funny story on that. Serbia. We were in Serbia. Me, JD, and Kozak.
My name is Tyler.
How many times?
I cannot believe Tyler, this.
It's unreal, right?
Me, Tyler, and Kozak shared like an Airbnb. And I don't know if you've been to Serbia. You need a key to open every door. I come out one night. These guys are off gallivanting. And then I was like, okay, I'm locked in the apartment.
Yes. You need a key to like from the inside too. So I took the key. I locked the house so that Sion wouldn't be in danger of someone like raiding and beating him up in his sleep or something. You know what I mean? But then I came home and realized that Sion had been locked inside of the apartment the whole time I was gone. So if there was a fire or something, he would have just died probably.
Yeah. I looked out the window like, okay, if there's a problem. Okay, I'm on the 13th. Yeah, I'm dead.
You're on the 13th floor?
Yeah.
I thought most places don't have 13 floors. That's super unlucky.
It's Serbia, so.
They don't have bad luck there. They just have
terrible design flaws.
They have different numbers.
Oh, they have different numbers.
Different numbers.
I thought math was a universal language.
That you would think that, but I don't know. I don't know what to tell you.
I cannot believe that I planned a whole bit around, like a joke around Sion not knowing Tyler's name, and then he has called him JD four times unintentionally.
I think it's been way more than four times.
I think we're
at six or seven at this point.
Man. All right. I'll just move on. Because it's just going to happen again. It's just gonna.
It's going to.
It's going to happen again. He does not know your name.
Happen again.
All right. Yeah. The only way that happens is if you don't. You just don't talk. All right.
Yeah.
What's next? Hey, is anyone monitoring the chat? I tried to briefly. They're just talking about AJ.
One more question.
Okay.
About Grapple on the Gridiron 2.0. What's the average weather like in November in State College? What are the odds this is good weather? You're going to have to get lucky?
Well, it'll be warm enough. I mean, Iowa and State College.
Same temperature.
Yeah, similar. So it was warm enough then.
It could be snowing.
That's the thing. It could be. It could also be nice.
I will bet right now, $50, all of you, it's not going to be snowing.
I don't think
State College in November.
It could be. It's not unrealistic.
It's unrealistic.
No, it's not.
It's unrealistic. Yes.
It's not unrealistic.
I'll look it up, and it'll be a less than 50% likelihood that it snows. Probably less than that.
All right. Okay, so this internet just told me that the average high in November is 49.
Okay.
Average low, 33, and it will rain roughly 7 days out of the month.
Rain is the question, not snow. It could rain. It's a happy place.
Impacts wrestling.
It's a happy place, but it's also a rainy place. It can be a little cloudy.
Is Grapple on the Gridiron worth the risk?
Yeah. Absolutely.
Okay, what if it rains?
It's great for wrestling.
What if it rains? What there's 1,000 what ifs, you know? Beat the Streets, what if it rains? It's awesome every year. You know? What if it take a chance, have a contingency plan. Okay, if it doesn't happen, have the Bryce Jordan Center available. Have Rec Hall available. Have a plan B if it's horrible weather and can't do it. But why not try? I mean, the yes, it could rain. Yes, it could be bad weather, but try. It would be incredible. There's no reason not to attempt. You don't have to put all your eggs in that basket. Anyway, okay.
Well, but what if you sell 40,000 tickets?
You have a refund.
Okay.
Figured it out.
There you go.
What fans do you boot out?
First 5,000, go to Rec Hall. Look how quickly I'm solving. You think they're not going to solve this quicker than me? They already know. It's simple.
Okay, Richard in the chat just says, have a tarp cover the mat.
Have a tarp cover the mat.
Now, it seems like it'll be hard.
The tarp would get wet.
It does seem like it'll be hard to
How do you wash?
Hard to watch the matches if they're under the cover of a tarp. And
Jumbotron.
No, it would be like, you know, in like PE on like Ooh. The most fun day where you get under the parachute and then you play that. It'd just be like that, but you do a wrestling match.
The Jumbotron, though, you just have the duel in Rec Hall, and then you just put it on the Beaver Cam outside.
Beaver Cam.
Yeah.
They should just have a dome like you and I.
That's just a watch party.
Well, yeah, but that's only if it rains.
And then that's the contingency.
Yeah, that's the contingency.
Well, no,
you can sit in the rain.
So they put a tarp over. They put a tarp over it. So because for the record, they have to do it on the field. So they put a tarp over it, but broadcast it up on the Jumbotron so that people could still see it. It's still happening in the venue.
Build a giant glass box. Just build windshield wipers.
Now we're thinking.
Just build a retractable roof. This has been done, guys.
That's true.
It costs a couple.
Build a giant.
Couple billion.
A giant ice box. You see how long you can last in it without eating or drinking.
Is this a David Blaine bit?
Wow. Yeah, that's a David Blaine bit.
We got a circus tent suggestion in here.
All right, circus tent. There's a lot of options. We're going to make it happen. Or it could just be nice weather. I'm excited for this.
That's my solution.
Nice weather.
I got a question.
Hit it.
Christian,
okay.
How come we got no news on Oklahoma State yet?
Okay. Well, I'll ask you some questions. All right. What was the thought when Coleman was named associate head coach at that point in time? What did we all think was the case then?
He will probably be the next head coach.
Everyone assumed.
Okay. Jay, all right. He would be the next head coach. That was kind of the thought, right? And then John Smith retired on April the 11th, and it is currently May. Okay, so if he was the next head coach, would it or would it not make sense to have already named him head coach at this point in time?
He would probably be named head coach.
Okay. And Who just visited there?
Wyatt Hendrickson.
Uh-huh, Wyatt Hendrickson. And so would it make sense if you're in actively recruiting someone that you would that person would know the head coach they're committing to? So Oklahoma State is or is not incentivized to name him the head coach sooner rather than later, right? Would we all believe that?
Yes.
That would make more sense. So knowing that, knowing all those reasons that it, if Coleman was the guy for sure to have named him, if you have not named him, to me that says they're looking outside. They're looking elsewhere. And I think that's what's the holdup, what the holdup is. And beyond that, I don't think there's a lot more to say right now. But to me, as this has gone on, you know, I did a video. Hey, who's the next head coach? I said, I think it's Coleman. I think he pulls in Neil Arizman as associate head and they get the band back together and they go. That was my thought then. And the more time has passed, the more I think Oklahoma State is looking elsewhere.
Outside the Cowboy family?
Well, that's interesting because when, man, I feel like an FRL topic for the last, I don't know how many years, as we've been discussing the retirement of John Smith and who would get that job afterwards, we have never, ever discussed outside the Oklahoma State family, right? It was just presumed they're gonna, it's going to have to be a Cowboy. It's going to have to be a Cowboy. But I don't know, and I'm curious what you guys think. I mean, Sion, you went to a legacy school, Iowa State. Tyler went to Michigan. I'll put it to you guys. Do you think it makes sense to look outside, or do you think there's – what is the added benefit? I'll ask this. What is the added benefit of hiring someone within that – within the school? What is tangible? What do you get from hiring someone that went to that school?
Well, it's the legacy. You said it's a legacy program, one, you know. So the Cowboys, and I know a lot of Cowboys, they're all loyal to each other. So, you know, they all support each other. I think, like, every time you look at a picture of some of those Cowboys at a wrestling events, all of them are getting together and having dinner with John Smith. So it's like a family. So them going outside a family, it's kind of highly unlikely. But at the same time, if you look at a lot of the programs that revitalize themselves, you look at University of Iowa. They went and got Gable and revitalized Iowa wrestling. Penn State, you know, they hadn't won a national title since 1957. And to my alma mater's dismay, they got Kale in.
They so it sounds like they need to hire a Cyclone now to be successful is what Sion is saying. Cyclone Sion is saying.
Hey, you know, I'm just saying, you know, the facts prove the facts are the facts there. You know, regularly, you know, you revitalize a program with a Cyclone. But at the same time, there's a lot of quality candidates that's not Oklahoma State bred or Iowa State. Well, I guess you could say there's a lot of people out there that's Iowa State bred that could step into that role. But I'll let the Michigan guy take over, you know.
I think, you know, when you hire someone who went there, who is some like from that family, you definitely get someone who's really passionate about that school. Oftentimes, like I know for Sean, it was probably his like dream job for a long time, I'd imagine. So I think that you have a less chance of someone leaving when you hire, but I mean, that's not really an issue with an Oklahoma State and Iowa State. Like that's not really an issue in the first place, but I don't know. I think in the case of Sean, when like Sean came as an associate head coach, like for 4, 5, 6, however many years had been a while. So I feel like it was kind of, I know that they opened up interviews for that job when McFarland retired. But I remember like before they opened up the interviews, like our assistant AD came in and met with our whole team and was like, we're going to interview people, but we are like 90% sure we know who we want we want it to be Sean. So I don't know. It sounds like, I don't know if maybe Coleman didn't have enough time to try to get his foot in the door there. He only was there for a year, you know, as coming from UNC. So I don't know.
But at the same time, since Oklahoma State's taking so slow on their time, would they not be, it's recruiting time right now. You're trying to compete. They have a great team. You're trying to compete. Like, do you think they already know they're who they're hiring, but they're, you know, they're appeasing all the other alumni by interviewing them?
I don't think that's
without
what's going
you know
on.
So that
I think they're just.
But at the same time, you know, go ahead.
Well, I said, yeah, I don't think that's what's happening. I don't think this decision is being slowed in any way so they could say, hey, we're really trying to get a cowboy in here. I think they're just trying to get the best candidate. I don't understand. I get this. There's you want to get the best person for the job, and if they happen to be an alum, I think that's obviously bonus points, and there's great synergy there. But the greatest dynasty college wrestling has ever seen was when a Cyclone went to Iowa City and built that. And the second greatest one is when a Cyclone went to Happy Valley and has created.
So you're saying a Cyclone needs to go to Oklahoma State?
Okay, so I mean, if you look at other if you look at other sports, it's not the case. John Wooden went to Purdue. He didn't go to UCLA. Tyler doesn't know who that is. If you
no idea,
I knew it. Nick Saban didn't go to Alabama or LSU. You know, all these other schools, it doesn't matter. Get the best coach, get the best candidate. I mean, and then because what's the tradition of Oklahoma State? It's winning. It's about winning. So get who's going to help you win. And that's how I think that's what they're looking at. I don't know. I don't know who the next head coach is going to be. Gun to my head, I would not be surprised at all if it's still Coleman Scott. But this delay and the recruiting aspect, which Sion speaks to, I think are all the reasons you want to expedite the hire. But if they've got a big fish on the line, I think they look to try to reel it in. So,
does having Coleman Scott already in place as, I mean, a former Division I head coach, does that allow that administration to take as much time as they need? I mean, I think that's the other part of it is like, let's say they interview a whole bunch of other people and they look at a bunch of other candidates and they don't end up landing on any of them. I mean, they can still hire Coleman. Like they've got a built-in backstop there.
Exactly. He's not going anywhere. He's banking on this job, getting it.
So I got a question. Let's say Coleman doesn't get the job. Does the new administration keep Coleman?
Probably depends on whoever brings in, whoever comes in.
It would not seem I that would be pretty rare. I don't think you'd see that. Maybe they would want to see a cowboy kept, but I think that's a little awkward, man. We're both interviewing for the same job. I get the job and keep you on. I don't know.
Colin Ramos are doing it.
What about
exactly?
Tony Ramos was under Coleman Scott, and then when Scott left, Rob Cole got hired. Tony Ramos still an assistant.
Yeah,
but North Carolina.
Come on, it's Rob.
Teon, we're in Oklahoma.
Okay, sure. I think that. Listen, that's a
man.
Well, here's the other thing. All right, how am I gonna do this? Some of these schools that I think they're not serious. They start. Okay, I hire you to be my head coach, but here's your staff. What? Like, am I cooking this meal or are you? So, yeah, there are examples where it's like, yeah, we keep this guy. And there was an example where they were said, hey, you keep this guy. This is your assistant coach. I think that's an administration that is not letting the coach be the coach. And I think that's meddling, in my opinion. I think, hey, you're the head coach. You hire your assistants. And if they arrive at the conclusion that this coach is the best possible person, then maybe you do that. But I think when you start not only hiring the coach but telling them who they're going to hire, I think that's a little weird. And I think that's not a good signal.
Do you think Coleman knew that this was a risk when he took this job, or do you think that he was like pretty certain that he was going to be a coach in waiting?
No, I don't think Coleman went there thinking I'm guaranteed to get this job. I think he wanted to go back to Oklahoma State, and I think it was a put it this way, if Coleman stayed at UNC this year and they had whatever year they had, couple All-Americans, whatever, would Coleman Scott's name be at the top of the list for a candidate?
Definitely.
The top? I would say no.
You don't think so?
I think the move – the top? No. I think
the
move –
he'd be one of the top three.
He'd be in the mix. Whereas now he goes to Oklahoma State. They have a good year. I think the move, got him to the top of, towards the top. I think it moved him up. I think the move from UNC to Oklahoma State moved Coleman Scott up the list, in my opinion. For a variety of reasons. So I don't agree with that. I think it was a smart move, and I think it was calculated. It's like, this is my dream job. I went to school here. I was a legend here. I won an Olympic bronze medal here, training here. And I could be the head coach. I think it put him in a good position to do that. And he's in a good position. Coleman's in a good position. He could be the head. He could be the head coach. And I think a year ago, is he? It's Pat. It's him. There's other entities around that are maybe not Cowboys that are in the mix. But I think Coleman being there in Stillwater after the year they had has helped him. Right. That proximity is an asset for Coleman. So that's my thought. I think it was a calculated move, and I think Coleman's smart. He knows there's no guarantees with this.
What is the date you think they have to make a hire by, either inside or outside?
There's no date. Stuff? I mean, well, there is. I mean, obviously before the season starts, but I think if you have to wait another couple weeks to do it, I think it's okay.
What's a couple weeks if you get the right guy?
Exactly.
Change your program. Exactly. Not change, but
how long would you wait to get Kale Sanderson? It's not Kale, but how long would you wait to get Kale? Right? You would wait till October if that's what it took. And it's not.
So, did you just start a rumor that Kale's going to Oklahoma State?
I just said what I'm hearing. It's not. I'm using that as an example.
Oh, okay. All right. I just thought you were starting a rumor there.
Obviously, he's not. But I bet he was their first phone call.
That would be kind of sick if he was like, all right, this is how I surpass Gable's legacy. I go to another school and I do it again.
I think there was a time where that was more of a possibility than it is now. Kale to Oklahoma State, but not anymore.
You think there was a time where he would do that from Penn State?
No.
I'll take Sion's answer, but I don't agree with it. I think there was a time.
Really?
Yeah. Not recent. But
I only asked that because I feel like he had like pretty immediate success at Penn State. Did he not?
He probably thought about it after the first season, but after that, he's like, I got 4 national titles. Yeah.
Kale's not going anywhere. So that now the administration is so, the AD they've got, like, why would you leave?
Yeah,
they got it. But
loves wrestling. He's at all the wrestling matches.
He's at all the matches.
Front, side, and center.
He's
at everything. Wrestling.
He was at Big Tens. He loves it. He's very supportive. And I think read between the lines there with that sentence. Read between the lines there. All right.
That AD ain't letting him go nowhere.
Uh-huh. I want to give a 26-minute warning. We got 26 minutes.
Okay. Thank you. This is when I need to know.
Did you all see the crazy changes to the high school rules? 3-point takedown, 2-3-4-point near fall, and college out of bounds. So it's basically college rules.
I like it. Bray, you are a resident high schooler expert ranker.
That's right.
And you're in high school?
I'm a resident high schooler, yep. It's like a 21 Jump Street situation.
What do you think?
I mean, it's awesome.
Yeah.
We had, so last year was the first year of college 3-point takedown, and we also had 3-point takedown at Who's Number One, and then we had 3-point takedown at Super 32. So we're there calling high school matches, and just the pace of the matches, the way that they felt was great. And then all of a sudden you switch back to the 2-point takedown, and it just felt it felt so much slower. You know, if there was a dominant match where a guy's going to win by a whole lot of points, the tech comes much quicker with a 3-point takedown. Like things, you know, things are just more exciting. They move faster, a lot more points on the board with the 3-point versus the 2-point. So I think that part of it's great. I also think the more you can make high school wrestling mirror NCAA wrestling, the more continuity you have between high school and college, the more likely you're going to be able to keep wrestling fans engaged and not be trying to remember what rule set am I watching. So I think it's just all positive to have these changes.
Are they going to add riding point next year then?
I don't think they should. I think that would actually really complicate. Like, it's easy to make a takedown 3, but when you have to start having another clock and just
Being imagine arguing with a high school table worker about riding time. Like, that would happen so much.
Yeah, it'd be brutal. You could do it for a few tournaments. And I think the tournaments that can should, I think, you know, like if Who's Number One can, if Super 32 can, cool. But for most high school, I'm just thinking about the duels at Buffalo Gap High School, riding time. It's like, oh my gosh. We could barely find someone to run the score clock.
Sion can't even keep track of riding time. I don't know how we can expect a high school.
He doesn't know your name. Riding time is just well beyond. Is well beyond. No, I think it's good. And I think if the rules change back in college, then high school should mirror really closely what college does. And I think the number one complaint we ever heard about high school rules was the out of bounds. And that getting changed is an awesome, awesome adjustment.
I'm pumped about the out of bounds change.
100%.
So much action ends out of bounds in high school because they have, what is it, 2 points of contact out of bounds?
Yeah.
It's crazy.
Yeah, and it becomes really hard to follow for fans. And that was one of the quotes in the article that Andy wrote was like, you know, the out of bounds in particular were changing so that spectators and officials and coaches and athletes can all have like a much clearer idea of when you're in bounds and when you're not, which that's great. If people literally don't know when they're out of bounds or not, like, it's hard to watch that.
It's way easier to judge 1 point of contact inbounds versus, oh, how many points of contact were there out of bounds? Like, how, it's way easier for a ref too.
Mm-hmm.
I do think it's a good change, but I think we are going to see a lot of, you know, feet going on hardwood floors, still early stops, just because high schools just don't have the large mats that college should. We see it quite a bit, you know, at the college
level. Yeah, I know. That's what I was thinking. Like, yeah, we'll see that. But then I'm like, man, we see it all the time, especially on the short corner.
Or like high school tournaments where you have the circles so close together, mm-hmm. and guys are basically going to be wrestling on the mat in play next to them. I think you're going to see that quite a bit, which could cause a little bit of confusion.
Continuation.
Well,
I want to see a kid blast double leg a kid to his back on the other mat. Like, and that happens in freestyle. That's great.
On top of the photographers like Max McAnally. I don't know if you guys saw that. Yeah.
Are
they going to add replay next to?
No.
That'll never happen in high school.
Given how it went at NCAAs this year, I was like, man, that was way too long.
Yeah, I know. That was not good.
I did see the one counter to the new out-of-bounds rules. Adam Terpelli was kind of driving this on Twitter, is this is farther away from a step-out point, which he wants. He thinks there's already too much action happening on the edge or guys getting saved by out-of-bounds, and this will only increase that.
I didn't understand that perspective at all, because Adam's whole thing for forever is out-of-bounds should not be safety. And it's never providing more safety than it is in high school wrestling. It is never bailing more guys out from getting scored on than it is in high school wrestling. College wrestling edge rules may not be the best, but compared to high school, it's much less of a safe haven. So I think it's going the right direction, in the direction I think Terpelli likes. So I don't understand that perspective, unless he's just like, unless it's a step out, it's bad. In which case, I'll take improvement over a worse rule set. Personally,
speaking on high school wrestling, who were some of y'all's biggest standouts from the US Open?
Man, there were so many. And so for me, it's all about like a perspective shift. And this is someone I thought was great. And then just, he had an eye opening performance for me, was Aiden Sinclair at U20s. Not only did he tech Josh Barr 10-0, and Josh Barr, someone who a couple of weeks ago I'm talking about, this guy's going to be an instant impact guy for Penn State, and I still believe that. I just think we learned, you know, we've seen Aiden a lot against high school guys, and now we've seen him, okay, we saw him beat Ryder Rogotsky, who we saw have a nice year for Ohio State, and we saw him beat Josh Barr, who was undefeated this year in red shirt, 10-0. And I think he's really slick. He's got a different sort of feel. There's not a lot of wrestlers that have come up that kind of have his skill set, right? It's like really great re-attacks, really good arm drag, but he's also like, he's clearly strong, but he's got good feel and scrambles. He really impressed me a lot. I thought that was going to be a really tough matchup for him, and he dominated 10-0. So it's, for me, it's Aiden Sinclair. Who is yours?
Yeah, there were quite a few. PJ Duke kind of stood out to me similarly. Yeah. Thought really highly of him going in, but the way he dominated, the field dominated a guy like Cannon Webster in the semifinals, and then Rutledge in the finals. It was just super impressive in the way he got it done as well. I was really impressed with PJ Duke.
And David, you can answer this question for PJ. I think part of the reason he's a great selection is like he misses a lot of events. He's had some injury issues. Is this one of is this the toughest field he's ever had to navigate? Is this the first time we've really seen him navigate a field of this magnitude?
I think so. I mean, he has, despite the fact that he's missed a lot of time, he's still won everything. I mean, he's won Fargo, he's won Super 32, he's won Ironman. But I mean, that Cannon Webster match alone, like, don't forget, this is a guy that beat Jesse Mendez at this event last year. Cannon Webster has beaten all Americans this year, beat Dylan D'Amelio.
Good.
So yeah, that win alone is crazy. And having to navigate college guys, yeah, PJ hasn't had to do that yet. His Ironman bracket that he won a couple years ago had Ladarian Lockett in it. He beat Will Hinkle in the finals. So he's been in some really good brackets, but I think this is the toughest one.
Who was your standout?
Man, there are so many, like you said. The thing for me, I want to at least throw somebody from U17 in here. Melvin Miller was super impressive to me, and mostly because of the context of the bracket he was in and then also the injury that he was dealing with. This is a guy that we already knew. I mean, in his freshman year coming into this, he already won Fargo between eighth grade and his freshman year. He won Super 32. He won a PIAA title as a freshman. Jeez. But we ran into him at NCAAs and he has his knee brace and it's like, I can't wrestle at the open. I'm not going to be in. I'm not going to be healthy in time. But he was, and he came back, and he's in a bracket that had three Fargo champs in the semis. Three of the four semifinalists were Fargo champs. And he navigated it. He got it done. He beat Kyler Kanak in the finals, who was a big, strong guy coming down. And not only did he win, but he just dominated. Like, he just was in control start to finish that whole tournament. So for him, like, he's been a guy for a lot of his freshman year where he's been really good at coming from behind after giving up a lead or making mistakes. So for him to be already as good as he is, but now eliminating the mistakes and doing it with an injury, that was like, all right, this guy's gonna be really good for a long time.
Gotcha. Okay, those were my That's who stood out to me. Good question.
Are you going to ask me who mine was?
Yeah.
Okay, go ahead and ask.
Is it Sergio Lemley?
No.
Bowman, who was your most impressive, Tyler?
I have a very unbiased choice. I don't know how none of you brought up the winner of 57 kilograms, Luke Lilladol, the most stacked weight of the tournament. Yeah, he won a bracket that had Anthony Knox, Jax Forrest, Seth Mendoza. He beat Kilcurry in the finals. And I didn't get to watch all the matches, but I remember texting Bray, like, so let me get this straight. Seth Mendoza teched Jax Forrest, then Kilcurry teched Seth Mendoza, then Luke Lilladol teched Kilcurry. So I don't know if it was just what was going on that day, but Luke dominated that tournament with six techs through by far the most stacked weight of the tournament.
It's funny that you mentioned Luke because, yeah, obviously that is an incredible performance. But, like, 3 weeks ago, the big name was Jax Forrest and what he did, right? And he's so great. And then a week later, Marcus Blaze makes the national team, gets third at Olympic Trials. And now this week it's Luke. That just shows how great all three of those guys are. And I hope we see those three in a bracket at least one more time before they all go their different weights for their careers. Cause
I think it's going to be crazy in college, 25 and 33 with all those guys coming up.
Oh my, it's going to be insane. And you wonder, how do they grow? How do they change? Where does someone like, how big does Jax get? How big does Marcus get? You feel like Knox and Luke maybe are kind of career lightweights, but I mean, Seth Mendoza kind of gets left out a lot, but he has beaten so many good wrestlers in his career. He's going to do really well.
Yeah, I mean, that whole group is so good. And, you know, don't forget about, like, Ben DeVino, who wasn't in the field yet. He could be at the trials. I think there's a chance that we see Blaze and DeVino at 61 at the trials, and then a lot of those guys still at 57 kilos. But that group's crazy. I mean, Nate Desmond just beat Leo DeLuca in the national prep finals. He took two losses this weekend. And, you know, Ronnie Ramirez out of California, nobody's talking about him, but he's right in the mix there. Seth Mendoza, he's right in the mix there. He beat Jax Forrest. He's, you know, he's now up to number two in the rankings. That whole group is so much fun. And yeah, I love it.
It's awesome. It's awesome.
So, Bray, going into this event, did you think Jax Forrest was going to run away with that at the Open?
No way. Not run away
after
with
how
it.
How he performed?
Not run away with it. I mean, because, you know, he and Lilidahl have gone back and forth. Lilidahl won the last one when they met in the Ironman finals. Knox, we put a video up of like Knox, Desmond, DeLuca, like a lot of the heavy hitters at 57 kilos. And Knox's dad texted me. He's like, hey, by the way, Anthony's 8-0 against the guys in this video. Like, so Anthony Knox, like you can't count him out. So no way. I didn't think it was going to be a runaway. I thought it was going to be quarters on just incredible match after incredible match, which just ended up being what we got.
Are we going to see Blaze at the trials?
There's a good chance we will. But if we do, the question will, I think, be 57 or 61, because he wrestled 132 all year this year, made 57 for the Olympic trials, but there was no 61. So he had to do that if he wanted to compete. I don't know how much he wants to hold that weight, yeah. But he's on the national team. So, you know, what do you do with that?
Will he take his U23 bid? Can he? Is he too young?
No, he can.
He could be like an Amit Alor type.
Mm-hmm.
David Carr did it.
Mm-hmm.
Made the senior national team. Got to go. Keegan did it.
Yep.
Cool.
All right, switching back to coaching. We haven't talked about it yet. CMU and Buffalo have hired their next coaches. What do you grade their hires?
Man, well, starting with Buffalo, I think getting Donnie Vinson, I mean, I think it makes so much sense. One, this guy has been around two of the, I think, the best run programs in college wrestling. He was there at NC State for years. He's been at Cornell for a couple of years now. Two awesome programs, different programs. And now he, a New York guy, Donnie Vinson is from New York. He's been around great programs. Goes to Buffalo. I think it's an awesome hire. And just that proximity to well-run programs, just the understanding of the recruit, the understanding of the state. Buffalo, a question is, how good can Buffalo be? And I don't know. I don't know the answer to that question, but I don't know how good Binghamton could have been until Pat Pop got there. And these great coaches, and I think Ben really is, Ben Askren is someone that talked a lot about this. Like, man, you can make it happen almost anywhere. And I think they are supported enough, and you can do pretty well at Buffalo. And it just starts with getting a couple guys and develop them. You can get that ball rolling. I think is a great hire for Buffalo to bring in Donnie Vinson. And, you know, Central Michigan, I don't know, man. It sort of depends on what do you want if you're Central Michigan. Do you want – what is the standard there? Because you hired Ben Bennett, who's been there since he graduated under Coach Borelli. And for the last 10 years, Central Michigan has averaged 36th-place finishes. If that's the standard and that's the expectation now at Central Michigan, and that's what you're going for, 36, then I think you just kind of stick with you. It's a very frictionless move. You got a guy that's been there forever. Borelli obviously had an impact in handpicking him, and it's very simple to just say, all right, Ben, you take it on, and then I think they can continue what they've done, which is averaging 36th place finish. And so if that's the standard, then, yeah, great hire. Was there an attempt to think bigger and maybe think, man, there was a time when Coach Borelli had this team contending for top five finishes. There was a time when Central Michigan was one of the kind of darlings of college wrestling. Like, this is a program that they had guys like Ben Bennett, and they had guys like Mike Miller and Scotty Sentez. And did they call Scotty Sentez, who's running currently a better program at a place, Campbell, which really has had one All-American ever until Tegadali? Did they try to get John Reeder, who's a Michigan legend and has had a lot of experience? Did they call Casey Cunningham just to get told no? They should at least get told no by Casey Cunningham. And maybe they were. To me, I can't give this that high a grade. I give Buffalo an A. I'll go incomplete with for Central Michigan, because I don't understand it.
The question is was that their only choice? You know, they might have reached out to a Casey or a John Reeder, but, you know, did they have the funds or the resources to get one of those coaches to shift from where they're at?
Casey was a lot.
It's kind of hard for Casey to leave, yeah.
Yeah, no way Casey was going there. And maybe they reached out, but I don't think Reeder was ever contacted, which doesn't make sense to me.
You know, I was actually talking to Sean Charles a couple of weeks ago, who's going up there. He says they have a great alumni support. Like, you know, but nowadays in the NIL world, there's alumni support and there's alumni support with money. Do they have the money?
Mm-hmm.
To, like, for a coach to go, I have the money and the resources for me to come to Central Michigan and be successful.
Yeah. Yeah.
So, you know, that they might have gotten the best choice they could with the resources they have.
Yeah. I'm not sure. And that's why it's incomplete for me. I'm not sure what they were up against, but I have a decent knowledge of how much outreach there was. And it sounded pretty minimal to me. It sounded like,
did they not listen to the show and hear that you have to hire a Cyclone if you want to create a dynasty?
True.
We did this episode too late.
True. They should have brought on. I mean, Sion.
They should have. John Reeder, Cyclone.
Oh, yeah. That's a good point.
Sion, are you looking for a new job?
Yeah. What about Sion? Yeah, you know, strength and conditioning coach.
I could have stepped out there too, you know.
Strength and conditioning coach, recruiting coordinator,
nutritionist.
Yes.
Yeah.
Team chef.
As long as they like spicy food. As long as they like spicy food, you know, they'd be eating good.
The spicy food's good because, you know, you get that sweat. Yeah, it's how you break a sweat. You don't even have to warm up. You just eat Sion's jerk chicken when you already got a lather going.
You do kind of have that warm up built in when you go catch the chicken and slaughter it yourself.
That's true too.
Yeah, it's true.
Yeah. All right, so that's Sion. They could hire him. Another coaching move, which there's so much we haven't got to talk about because of Olympic trials and all the huge news. Zach Tanelli going from head coach at Columbia to assistant coach at Virginia Tech. Sort of a surprising move that caught a lot of people off guard. Cody Brewer goes to Princeton, and then you bring in Tanelli, which for Virginia Tech, awesome hire. And you look at the job he was doing at Columbia. Very competitive teams. They put out some really tough squads at a place that is not known for winning or having a significant track record. I thought he was doing an awesome job at Columbia. But
just had kind of a historical year with Wolak and Azirov.
Yeah. Yeah, they were tough, and they've had other guys too, right? There were national qualifiers and contending. It's not an easy place to do it, but for Coach Tanelli, I don't even know how much I want to say about Columbia right now, but you know, I think you go to
everyone go around the room and give their protester takes.
No, definitely not Sion. But man, you go from listen.
You gotta pick on me, man.
I'm not picking on you. You go from Columbia you go to a place where, you know, you're winning and you're more in the. It's just a different kind of job, right? And we've seen guys go from head coaches to assistant jobs. I think it makes sense for Tanelli being. Being the head coach is not the end-all, be-all. There's still better jobs out there. And we've seen it. I mean, Casey Cunningham, think how many jobs that guy could have. Cody Sanderson, think how many jobs they could have. They have a great job as where they're at, and they're doing great things. And I think it makes sense for Coach Tanelli. And I think Columbia is a good job, right? Now, I'm wondering where they – I haven't heard the first thing, and I haven't even asked, so maybe I should start doing that. I haven't heard the first thing about where they're looking or what – who they're considering, but for Coach Tanelli, I think it's a great move. I think Blacksburg's awesome. Virginia Tech rules.
Well, I was gonna say why Roby is not someone I'm not super tapped into this at all, but my questions are like why go become an associate head? Are there two associate head coaches at Virginia Tech now? Is Freer also an associate?
I don't
coach?
Know if he is the associate head. I don't know his exact title, but
I think he is. I could be wrong, but yeah. I'm pretty sure now there's two. I could be wrong. Disclaimer. But I think that Freer is also an associate head coach. So, and then Roby is a young guy. I don't know. I just – my question is like why?
Because
why do you think this is a good move for him?
It's a good living.
Somebody paid him real good.
It's a good living. You don't have to raise a family in New York City or New Jersey or whatever. You can go to –
So now you're bashing New York City.
I
love New York City.
I would rather live in Blacksburg than NYC, and maybe Coach Dinelli feels
the same. I'm applying for the head coach at Columbia job.
Fine.
Now you've done it.
Yes, there are two associate head coaches. Columbia was right across from my high school.
Yeah, there's two associate head coaches. You hear that?
Yeah, yeah. So it's like an assistant to the regional manager type of situation slash regional director.
Co-associate head coaches.
It's an Andy Bernard, Dwight Schrute situation. And except that I feel like this is dunking on Tony Roby and Frayer.
Maybe Tony Roby paid him more money. You know, money also makes the world turn. So maybe it's a better paycheck.
I mean, I think it's a lot of things. I'm sure the salaries are comparable.
Goes a lot farther in Blacksburg.
And you're around you can be in the room training guys. You know, the head coaching job at Ivy League institution is very different, right? That's a unique experience.
Yeah, tired of being around nerds.
Yeah.
CP'd fit right in.
Just kidding. Yeah.
Maybe you should go try to be head coach.
They wouldn't let me clean the locker room at Columbia. I don't have the grades for that.
They might let you clean the locker room, but if you see a whiteboard with a bunch of equations written on it, just solve it, and then they'll give you the job.
Yep, that happened at Columbia.
I prefer my equations on chalkboards, not whiteboards.
Yeah, whatever. See, it's such a Gen Z take.
Yeah,
this is the age gap between us.
Smart board.
It's really showing its face.
Showing its face. Okay. Yep. What are we at? How much more time?
We got a couple more.
4 minutes.
Couple more minutes.
4 minutes.
4 minutes. All right. How do we finish this show, boys? We have a lot we have not gotten into.
I kind of want to end on this. Okay. So, Kyle Klingman toured the new Iowa facility.
Yeah.
That is up and running. There's a full length video. We're gonna show it here. But if you're just listening, go to our YouTube page or our website, and you can see the new facility. It's huge.
Nice.
It's awesome, but I want to hear some of your wrestling room situations.
Oh yeah,
growing up.
Sion, what was
the windows at?
They're right there. Sion,
windows, man. Where's the sunlight?
Sion, why are you a jerk?
This is an Iowa State hater right now.
Which it should be noted, Iowa State's wrestling room also does not have sunlight windows.
Yeah, zero windows.
Penn State's doesn't. Like nobody.
Wait. The new Iowa State one will.
Penn State doesn't have windows. So now you just threw
it. You know what room does have windows?
Accidental hip check at Kale Sanderson in his room. So wow. Apologize.
Your friend.
You just dunked on yourself.
I apologize. You just apologize so fast.
I'm kidding.
Look, this is actually too nice. I think you need a low ceiling dungeon room. Mm-hmm. To really make you tough.
Yeah.
It's going to make you soft.
Our wrestling room in high school was like when they added a football team, they didn't have like lockers big enough for the shoulder pads. So there was this, it was just like a storage room under this stairwell thing in our school. And they put a bunch of just giant lockers in there so the football players could have pads. And then that was our wrestling room. So for the first like month of the season when football was still going on, we would have to wait until like the football players got out, like changed, and then we'd roll the mats out, like put it all down, that kind of thing. So, or if we left the mats rolled out, then there'd be like football cleat, like, you know, marks all over the mats and stuff like that. So that was our wrestling room.
What was it like in the Bronx?
You had a room? I had a gym. We rolled out our mats like every day.
Yep.
We had the big 3-piece mats. We had to roll it out every day. And when I look back, man, I think we only mopped that match at the beginning of the season. I honestly think we only mopped at the beginning of the season.
Oh, man.
That is so grimy.
That's disgusting.
Now that I look back, yeah.
We had a similar thing. We had the old gym, so we were allowed to practice in there, but we had to roll them up and roll them out every single day, tape them down. It was a very long process. Probably adds on like a half hour, 45 minutes every day just to get them out, get them mopped, tape them down. That's why we were there. We were there until like, I don't know, like 6 o'clock every evening. It was like several hour long process.
That's what we did elementary, middle school too. Just roll them out, roll them back up. Yeah.
Kind of opposite of Sion. So we actually washed the mats every day before and after practice.
Why?
Believe it or not. But we would have, it would be like on a rotating thing for the wrestlers. And one time it was a first or second year wrestler. It was his turn or whatever. and he didn't know you need to mix water with the Whizzer.
Oh,
solution.
This happened at Gap too. This happened at Buffalo Gap.
Went straight Whizzer on the mat, and we didn't notice at first. Go through the whole practice, and afterwards, everybody's like, "Ah, I'm like stinging, kind of all over," and everybody just had like irritated skin. Everybody just left practice all red.
This happened.
Terrible, terrible. I'm I got like burns. I got like burns.
This happened at Gap. Burns. This happened at Gap, and one of the kids' hair in the front turned blonde because it had, like, had bleach in it or whatever, and because he didn't dilute it at all.
Yeah,
isn't that That's so funny. I totally forgot about it.
That's how I dye my hair.
Yeah. What's your dye?
Matt Whizzer.
Hey, can you before we go? Can do you have a visual of the Roosters? I'd like to see what they look like.
I can't see any. No.
Really?
They're gone.
I hear them.
They're just out and about. There's all over the place.
I wasn't jealous. I wish it stayed dark there.
I'll get footage of Sion.
Yeah.
Look at that scenery, man. Look at this scenery behind us.
The ocean's right there.
Yep.
Dang. Wow.
It's beautiful. I wish there was some way for me to show you.
Hey, but here, since you're not going to be on the show Monday, Tyler, you need to at least provide a video asset of Sion pursuing a chicken.
Yep.
And if he decapitates a chicken, keep the camera rolling. Okay.
Okay.
We're gonna lose our PETA sponsorship, but it's for a good cause, which is content.
He's gonna roll right. Yeah, he'll catch it. He'll just start cleaning it right away.
Right away. Right.
Jerk.
Yeah. Jerk
something
rooster.
Nice and spicy.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
We're gonna go. We thank you guys so much for tuning in. We'll be back on Monday, 11 a.m. Eastern. Thank you to Tyler and Sion for calling in. Thank you especially to you for listening to this show. Monday, 11 a.m. Eastern. We'll be back. Different cast of characters, but going to bring you the same. Maybe we'll have some wrestling news. I'm sure a lot's going to happen between now. We're probably going to get news dumped because that's what always happens. So be ready for news to happen Thursday, Friday. Thanks a lot. See you next time. Goodbye.